the supplication on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness, and I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets, and thy messengers, whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change. And that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive, and make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans, and muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty wise.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamu Alaikum. Welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. The topic of this episode is remembering Allah in the month of Ramadan.
الصوم أوشك يبتدي رمضان يا ضيف الورى قد زرتنا في الموعد كنا على جمر الغضا من واله ومفند رمضان يا ضيفا أتى يجلو لنا القلب الصدي.
Today, Thursday, is the 12th of Ramadan, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 25th of Farvardin, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 14th of April, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We listen to chapter Ar-Rahman, verses 17 to 21.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. رب المشرقين ورب المغربين.
He is Lord of the two sunrises and Lord of the two sunsets.
فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان.
So which of the favors of your Lord would you deny?
مرج البحرين يلتقيان.
He released the two seas, meeting side by side.
بينهما برزخ لا يبغيان.
Between them is a barrier, so neither of them transgresses.
فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان.
So which of the favors of your Lord would you deny?
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Quranic exegetes disagree as to the location of the two sweet and salty seas and the fact that one does not prevail the other and the nature of the barrier separating the twain. However, mentioned was already made of the point in the exegesis of chapter 25, saying that great sweet rivers flowing into seas and oceans usually form a sea of sweet water besides the coast, thus repelling the brine, and it would be of interest to know that sweet and salty water, owing to the difference in the degrees of thickness, do not intermingle.
أشهر الرحمن فيك أنزل القرآن.
We are in the month of Ramadan, and this question is here: what is the importance of dhikr? That means the remembrance of Allah. Dhikr is truly one of the easiest acts of worship that simultaneously has instrumentable amount of rewards and benefits in this world and the next. It is the remembrance of Allah, the Almighty. Life is distracting. It distracts us from remembering the greater meaning and remembering our Creator, the source of our life. So dhikr reflects a constant connection and loving bond with Allah. Dhikr is also a means of seeking forgiveness from Allah and being purified of our sins. In the hadith, the Prophet said, "Should I not inform you of the best of your deed, and the purest of them with your master, and the highest of them in your ranks, and what is better for you than spending gold and silver, and better for you than meeting your enemy and their strike your necks?" They said, "Of course." He said, "The remembrance of Allah."
Thank you.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binastain. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and pronouncing His divine names in the month of Ramadan. In the beginning, it must be indicated that when we consider something or an event, we are more subject to pronouncing its, keywords or, for example, the terms. This is a natural tendency. Not in the lives of those people who are religious, rather, in the lives of everybody who may be concerned with any special activity. In this connection, the basis is mentioning the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or various designations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indicated to the Prophet Moses and his brother Aaron, Harun in Arabic, وَلَا تَنَيَّا فِي ذِكْرِ. You too shouldn't fall short of remembering me. It indicates that this act of remembering the names and designations and traits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the merciful traits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are regarded as ways of mentioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, in this regard, it's indicated in the Holy Quran, وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ فِي نَفْسِكَ تَضَرُّعًا وَخُفْيَةً. You have to mention, it means mention your Lord, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in your own mind with humbleness and quite secretly. It means that everybody is expected not to spend even a moment without considering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, it's indicated in the Holy Quran, فَإِذَا رَكَبُوا فِي الْفُلْكِ دَعَوَ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ فَلَمَّا نَجَّاهُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ إِذَا هُمْ يُشْرِكُونَ. When people get on ship, and when this ship comes across some dangers in the sea, people come to think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they come to mention the names and designations and the divine mercy. However, when they get to shore, they forget the names and designations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It means that everybody in time of danger comes to think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the ultimate rescue and the ultimate saver and savior. We find that in this connection, we find that in the month of Ramadan, everybody is expected to be more concerned with mentioning the names and designations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is because of the month of Ramadan is the month of paying more attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't mean that in other months throughout the year, people are permitted not to be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, it means that in the month Ramadan, more attention is expected to be given to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Ramadan, ya Ramadan, يا نفحة الرحمن رمضان يا رمضان شهر جود وغفران رمضان يا رمضان يا نفحة الرحمن رمضان يا رمضان شهر جود وغفران.
Come here to practical tips. Practical tips for what? For dhikr. You may purchase or download a booklet of dhikr. Recite from it whenever free throughout the day. In a week or so, you'll find that you'll already memorize those dhikr and can recite them on your own freely throughout the day. The second tip is, in Ramadan, make sure to start the habit of reciting the morning and evening dhikr. Again, the morning and evening dhikr. Their reward is enormous in protecting the person, providing peace and tranquility, and keeping one connected with Allah the Almighty.
Alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar.
Ramadan and remembrance. Remembrance of Allah. At its core, Ramadan, this great month, lie important theologically believes about redemption and hope that revolve around the idea of dhikr, or the remembrance of Allah. The month of Ramadan is about remembering Allah through a disciplining of the body, mind, and the heart that asks Muslim to reflect on the less fortunate, the poor, the hungry. These thoughts cross one's mind naturally. When one is hungry, one thinks of the poor and starving. During the month of Ramadan, Muslims typically abstain from food, water, bad speech, and malicious behavior. Ramadan is a time of the year during which the forgetfulness that builds up in one's heart is remedied through prayer and bodily and spiritual fasting, all of which are practices directed toward remembrance. This month is one in which religious contemplation retrain the heart and the body for the coming month, establishing a circle that is restorative and deeply spiritual.
The month of Ramadan is a month of ibadah, is a month of worship. What comes to our mind when we say ibadah? What comes to our mind is praying and fasting and tahajjud in the middle of the night. That's not the only way of ibadah, my dear brothers and sisters. Ibadah means calling your mother and seeing how she's doing. Ibadah means calling your family, going and being at the service of your parents, being at the service of your relatives. This is ibadah in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is in fact a greater type of ibadah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Don't worship anyone other than Allah and show kindness towards your parents. This is ibadah. This is ibadah. During the month of Ramadan, go and check up on your family members. وَصِلُوا فِيهِ أَرْحَامَكُمْ مَنْ وَصَلَ فِيهِ رَحِمَهُ وَصَلَهُ اللَّهُ بِرَحْمَتِهِ يَوْمَ يَلْقَاهُ. Anyone who is connected with their family during the month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will connect that person with His mercy on the Day of Judgment. Go and call people, your relatives, especially in the month of Ramadan. This is the time that we have to be connected.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special. Thank you very much for joining us. Keep and remember us too in your prayers and worshiping. Thank you very much and fi amanillah.
جلسة القرآن ظمآن ظمآن لوصالك يا رمضان للتوبة والغفران ومجالسة القرآن. نور في الأفق يلوح باب الجنة مفتوح لا يهوي عطش الروح إلا باب الريان. نور في الأفق يلوح باب الجنة مفتوح لا يروي عطش الروح إلا باب الريان. ظمآن ظمآن لوصالك يا رمضان للتوبة والغفران ومجالسة القرآن.
Food for thought. Salam, friends. And how about reflecting upon what Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, has reportedly told his disciple Jabir ibn Abdullah Ansari concerning the benefits of the fasting month of Ramadan? O Jabir, this is the month of Ramadan wherein those who fast on its days and spend a portion of its nights in worship, while taking care that their bellies and private parts eschew that which is unlawful and their tongues are kept in check, come out of their sins as they pass out of the month.
Join us in this journey, IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very noble and very beautiful tradition and hadith which has been narrated from the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Whoever establishes a good habitual practice that people follow even after him, he will get his own reward for it as well as the like of the reward for people performing it." Now, right now we're in the month of Ramadan, and the month of Ramadan is the month of worship of Allah. It's a very spiritual month. We have a lot of opportunities in this month to perform good deeds, and one of the good deeds that we can do in this month is to establish a good habitual practice amongst the people, right? Establish a norm, a habit amongst the people. Like, let's say that you're in a place where people don't have the habit of doing ibadat and worship on the nights of Qadr. And let's say that a lot of us are in places where, you know, there's not a lot of Muslims. The Muslims there, they don't really know any, have a lot of information about Islam. There might be a lot of new Muslims there who just become Muslim. Right? They don't know a lot about Islam, but we might be coming from places where a lot of things are, you know, well known and understood, and simply taken as being self-evident. The month of Ramadan is here, we have to fast. You know, the nights of Qadr have come, we have to do Ahya, we have to do worship in the nights of Ahya. These are things that are self-evident for us, but for a lot of people, they're not. For a lot of communities, they're not. We might be in, we might have moved to a certain community where some people just don't know about these things, right? So one of the things that we can do, one of the good deeds that we can do in this month is to establish like a habit amongst the people in this month and for doing good deeds, right? If we do so according to this tradition, not only will we get reward for establishing that habit, but the whoever comes after us and, you know, follows that norm, that habit, that sunnah, we will get the same reward as they do. Without, the Prophet says, without any decrease in their reward thereof. Conversely, the Prophet says, and whoever establishes an evil habitual practice that is followed by people after him, he will be responsible for the burden of his own sin as well as the burden of their sins. Right? So like say that you're in a certain community or in your family, nobody does something evil, something bad, right? But you start it and people start following you and it becomes a norm in your family or in your society or in your community, right? So whoever comes after you, right, and does that because of the norm that you've established, you're going to get the punishment that they did. Right? So let's be careful and not establish any evil norm, you know, in the communities or in the families that we're in. In the end, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, without any decrease in their burdens thereof. Right? Like, let's say that, you know, you come from a very religious family and nobody in your family does drugs or drinks. But let's say that, you know, you start doing this and because of that, a lot of people become addicted to it. Or maybe there's something worse, right? So you're going to get the burden of their sins as well as your own. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the recompense of one who establishes a habitual practice in the words of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sallam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد عودتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Respected Muslim brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is Habibullah Fasihizada with the Let's Recite the Quranic Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International School Network. So, the students as well, yes, in cooperation with the students of Sevier International School Network. Thank you so much for joining us. I hope, inshallah, you are safe and healthy wherever you are and whenever you are. May Allah Almighty, inshallah, protect you from all evils and illnesses. So, we are back, inshallah, with another session of the Quranic series of sessions. And, inshallah, today, as the previous sessions, we will be practicing, reciting, reading the Holy Quran and practically applying the rules and the things that the points that we just studied, we have just studied so far. We will, inshallah, will be in this session as well, applying them on the verses of the Holy Quran. So, it's very good if whenever, for example, you want to start doing something good, start with the name of Allah Almighty and reciting a salawat, then finishing the work as well, saying Alhamdulillah and reciting a salawat. So we have started again the work. Let's Okay. There is a hadith from Imam from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I think.
Allah.
I forgotten that. So, says, كُلُّ أَمْرٍ ذِيبَالٍ لَمْ يُبْدَأْ بِبِسْمِ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ أَبْتَرٍ. So, any work, anything, any activity, which matters, which is important, okay? If it's not getting started with Bismillah or with the name of Allah Almighty, it's going to have bad results. It's not going to have a good result. Okay? So, Alhamdulillah, our classes are Quran classes. It's kind of wajib for us, okay, to start with the name of Allah Almighty and finish with the name of Allah Almighty, right? So, let's recite one more time a salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad wa ala
Salawat is like this. Look, in salawat we have Allah as well. We have the Holy Prophet as well, and his purified progeny as well. Allahumma means, O Allah Almighty. So first is Allah. Salli ala Muhammad, second Prophet. Ali Muhammad. Okay, like this. So it's a good dhikr or remembrance
of Allah. Yeah, farajahum, sir, also for wa'ajjil.
Farajahum means, hum means the family.
If you say
the progeny, the prophet, Allah and his
family means. Muhammad.
Let's continue. The first sign we talked about, Hadi, was a tiny little jim. That tiny little jim tells you that you are allowed to make a pause, or if you want, you can continue connecting and joining to the next part of the ayah.
It's
right?
A baby, it can't stop us.
In the next ayah as well, we have يَكَادُ الْبَرْقُ يَخْطَفُ أَبْصَارَهُمْ كُلَّمَا أَضَاءَ لَهُمْ مَشَوْفِهِ. Wait. مَشَوْفِيهِ وَإِذَا أَظْلَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ قَامُوا Little jim. Next one. وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَذَهَبَ بِسَمْعِهِمْ وَأَبْصَارِهِمْ Again, jim. But remember one thing, guys. These signs that we are studying now, they are based on the Usman Taha version of the Quran. In some versions of the Quran, for example, the version of the Quran published in Pakistan, or in some other countries like some African China. Countries, so China. They are a little different. I mean, the signs. For example, maybe instead of jim, they have za, or maybe ta, for example, or something else. But it has the same meaning. Sometimes, based on the meaning, they check. Okay. Some, for example, interpreters or the teachers of the Quran, they see or they understand that this, if we put jim here, it's better. Okay, the meaning is better. If we put, for example, a mim here or some other signs, it's better. So there's no problem, okay? So jim tells you, you're allowed to do it, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, have you learned it?
Yes.
Yes. But yeah, what is this sign?
The second sign that helps you out with joining and making a pause, where to make a pause, is Sad, Lam, Ya.
Salah or Sali, right? Salah, I think it's Salah because the Ya doesn't have dots, yes?
Yes.
Salah. So this Salah tells you, Muhammad Salah, the Egyptian footballer, no, okay? Salah. And this one.
Salah.
So he Salah. Is Salah.
Oh, right.
Muhammad Salah.
Salah Milah.
Hajweed helps you a lot, yes? Salah, pronunciation of Salah. The letters.
Salah.
So, Salah.
قلب بالحق تعلق وبغارح راء تألق يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
Another sign, قال.
قال.
صلاة قال. These two. صلاة tells you that it's okay. You can make a pause here, and it's better to make a pause.
But قال you should make.
Sir, we have a صلاة.
Oh, sorry. I just made a mistake. Let me fix the mistake. صلاة tells you that it's better to connect. It's better to connect. Salah means it's better to wasl, make wasl.
Salah wasl.
Connected. But you can make a pause.
That's no problem.
Yes, Hadi, Mahdi? The guide and the guided one. Salah tells you, if you see that Salah on the top of the word, Salah tells you that you can make a pause, but it's better to go. Connect.
Yes.
Sarqala, I'm not Sarqala. Or qala, there is another thing, qala. Qala tells you that it's better to make a pause. Also, you're allowed to go, but it's better to make a pause here, okay?
So basically, all three of them have the same meaning.
Oh, the same meaning with this meaning, that you are allowed to continue or make a pause. But in gym, you have both sides, two options. Go. Or make a pause.
It's good to go and it's
no
good
priority.
To pause.
Yeah, no, there is no priority. Okay.
But the salam is like basically it's
the
not,
priority is on.
It's better to go and not
to go.
To
yes.
Stop.
This
but
station.
In this one, it's better to stop. And
the next
to
station
go.
Is qala. The station of qala. The priority is to make a pause. Okay, Muhammad Yahya.
Yes, yes.
So far we have learned three.
Yes.
Jim tells you, you can make a pause or you can go.
Yeah,
two options.
50-50.
Two options. 50-50. Okay?
Yeah.
Salah, the next station is Salah.
It's better.
It's 25-50.
25-50.
40-50 or 40-50.
What?
Yeah.
No, 60-50.
Okay.
25-50.
Whatever.
No.
Look, it's like this. So which one is prior?
If we make a... it's better to go.
Better to go.
Yeah.
Connect it
to the next part. Here we have... يَكَادُ الْبَرْقُ يَخْطَفُ أَبْصَارَهُمْ I can make a pause, but it's better to go. Like this. يَكَادُ الْبَرْقُ يَخْطَفُ أَبْصَارَهُمْ كُلَّمَا أَضَاءَ لَهُمْ مَشَوْا فِيهِ وَإِذَا أَظْلَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ قَامُوا Like, أَبْصَارَهُمْ Make a pause. No problem. أَبْصَارَهُمْ كُلَّمَا No problem. But it's better to continue, right, Mahdi? As he says.
Yes.
So two options we have. Which option is better? Connecting is better.
Connecting
is better.
But I don't find any qala here.
Qala, have you found qala?
No. Qala is right here. It's on page 3.
One minute. There is one more salah. There is one more salah.
Page 3. The last of
the...
Hijarat.
There is one more ayah on the same page. الذي جعل لكم الأرض فراشا والسماء بناء وأنزل من السماء ماء فأخرج به من الثمرات رزقا رزقا لكم صلاة again.
So we have again in Hijar.
Yes. The last eye in this page as well. فإن لم تفعلوا ولن تفعلوا فاتقوا النار التي وقودها الناس والحجارة أعدت للكافرين. You can make a pause or continue. But continuing is...
Sir, we have qala in page 3.
And page 9,
we have... The next page?
And page 9, we have qala. Yeah.
Okay.
Page 5.
So in the next page 5, we have salah a lot, we have jim.
Yeah.
And
yes,
there's one
yes,
more thing.
Very much.
But one minute.
What page is it, Muhammad Yahya?
Page 9. Yes, the last
okay.
ayah.
Hadi Mahdi.
Hadi, sorry.
So there's a qalaa here. They both are gonna read.
Hadi.
Okay, me.
Go to page 9.
Me. So the last
page 9.
But there's one in... Wait, we're looking
okay,
for a
page 9, we have two. Qala, yes. We have three in page 9.
There's a qala in page 3. Okay, leave it.
Yeah, leave it. Come here. Page 9. 9, ayah 61. The last ayah in this page, we have three qala.
I find some.
Yeah,
read the whole ayah.
Mahdi, do you want to read it?
No. Okay, I'll read this.
You're a scaredy cat.
Okay,
if you want, I can read page 10.
Yeah.
Of course.
Listen up. So, in page 9, the second, the last ayah,
the
first line
ayah.
No, second line no, third line no, fourth line. اهبطوا مصرا فإن لكم ما سألتم وضربت. I can continue. I can make a pause at سألتم. Which one is better, Hadi?
To make pause.
Make a pause at this
also
station.
Also, we have here قلع.
The yes, next one again with
Allah.
Yeah, وَبَاءُ بِغَضَبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ قَلَى here.
Yeah.
ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ Is it better to make a pause here or no?
Yeah it's better to make a pause.
وَبَاءُ بِغَضَبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يَكْفُرُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ تلون النبيين بغير الحق. So, making a pause بغير الحق. Is it better or no? من هل حسين. Is it better to make a pause بغير الحق?
حق.
Yes? Say something, yes?
Yeah.
Okay, why? Because we have the sign of قلاي station. قلاي station.
قلاي.
So, جيم station, صلاي station, قلاي station.
Yes.
Come back to page. Ajim Salakala. Come to page
5.
Sir, my turn. Now look. So, go on, Hadi, recite. And when you get to the Salah station, apply the rule.
Salah.
A'udhu Billah, Bismillah. Go on.
A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وبشر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات إن لهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار كلما رزقوا منها من ثمرة رزقا قالوا هذا الذي رزقنا من قبل وأوتوا به متشبها وهم فيها أزواج مطهرة وهم فيها خالدون.
Thank you so much. You had some mistakes, but that was good. Thank you so much. Inshallah, the next more signs, okay? We will talk about them. But before that, we have to recite a salawat. Then we will come back, inshallah. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا
إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان
This is Back to Reality.
Back to Reality.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, ladies and gentlemen, the loyal audience of IRB English Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Back to Reality. In the realm of truth, we have two very dear guests. Now I want them to introduce themselves to you. Welcome.
Assalamu alaikum. I'm Muzaffar Haider from the UK and I'm studying in the holy city of Qom. Alhamdulillah.
Such a pleasure to be with you. So you're studying religion.
Yeah, I'm studying in the Hawza.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm Sadiqa from the UK as well. And I'm studying in Qom as well, in the Sisters Hawza. And my field of study is Fiqh and Usul. One more term left.
Very great. So just for those audience and listeners who do not know what is Fiqh and Usul, can you please tell us a little bit about your area of study?
So
what do you do?
Fiqh and Usul is basically the principles of jurisprudence.
Mm-hmm.
So we look at every marja taqlid has a book of laws. How do they derive those laws?
And now we go to another word, marja taqlid.
Marja taqlid. Every Shia would choose
a scholar to follow
in their daily ahkam rules, in the daily rules, such as with different parts of ahkam, religious rulings. I also study how they're derived.
Mm-hmm.
You have different subjects within fiqh and usul, within the principles of jurisprudence. And we look at the different principles, how those principles are derived, how the laws are derived, the hadith and the Quran related to those laws, which basically comes down to the nitty-gritty of your ahkam.
So plenty much of delicate things to study.
There's a lot of attention to detail, yes.
Yes, exactly, details. So wish you best of luck.
Thank you.
I hope you do well in that major. Now, let's go to the heart of our discussion. For today's Back to Reality. Here's the thing, 5 minutes after we're being born, everything has been given to us. We have no choice over where we live, where we have been born, our nationality, our parents, many things, right?
Yes, definitely.
But how does it feel?
Well, it's a necessity.
It's weird.
It's not, because we live in a world where if you don't have a nationality, the nationality of a person also comes down to the fact that those laws of the country now apply to that person, even if they're 1 minute old.
Mm-hmm.
Every person has rights, and those rights have to be abided by.
It seems like you were satisfied where you have been born, in what family you have been born.
No, because we are born, but we are the ones who have to carve out our future as well. Just being born in a specific place does not hurt a person, rather.
But they can change many things in their future.
Our futures, yes, they can change, but everything is not, it's not all of our lives are predetermined.
Mm-hmm.
We have free will of how we go ahead. So yes, I might have been born in a specific family, but how I move ahead is down to me. It's not down to my family.
That is the part which is related to free will. Brother Muzaffar.
I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. 5 minutes after I was born, I don't remember a thing. So I wouldn't
you
be able
to. You don't remember, but now we can know.
I wouldn't be able to elaborate on how I felt at those labels being slapped onto me and being given my name and everything.
Perhaps 15 years later, you understood what you have been through.
Yeah, I'm still thinking about it, though. Yeah.
Yes.
There are things.
Many people, you know, they're not satisfied with the place they have been born. The setting, you know, everything has been set for us. We come into it and we can change maybe some specific things.
It goes back to, I think it was Imam Musa al-Kadhim alayhi salam or Imam Ridha alayhi salam. But he was asked at a very young age, he must have been like 10 years old, maybe younger.
Mm-hmm.
And he was asked by the Taghut of the time, how much free will do we have and how much, you know, predestination is involved in our life? And he said, stand on one leg. And he stood on one leg. And then he said, now raise the other leg as well. And he said, I can't. He said, it's like this.
Wasn't that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam?
I remember it being Imam Musa al-Kadhim. Let's just say alayhi salam. And so, yeah, it's almost 50-50. You could argue that. There is an element that is tying you down to earth. You can't avoid that. You are going to be given your name at birth. You're going to be given, which of course you can change later on, by the way, in life, right?
Yes, but you have to grow very old.
How you look, your genetics. Mm-hmm. All of these things are going to be, even your personality, by the way.
Yes, they say that they come through genes.
Right, genes and a number of other factors. Mm-hmm. And I know that some people are interested in zodiac and things like this. But at the end of the day, personality itself, which is something that people would not like to hear.
But also that is affected by the place you have been born in.
Your personality? No, yes, I mean the innate, the fitrah. The fitra of that personality, right? So that is not going to change.
Explain the word fitra for us.
Right. So the fitra is, let's translate it as the divine innate nature of a human being. Okay.
Shall we call it the unconscious?
No, I wouldn't. Everybody has a subconscious, right?
Yeah.
The subconscious mind is just like this bank where you can, it's just a store place where you keep all sorts of thoughts and images everything goes into it. It's like a big storeroom. But
so, you
definitely,
know, in psychology, we had something that was called collective unconscious. Mm-hmm. And every time I read things about that, I remembered the word fitra.
Alhamdulillah.
You know, because that is very close to it. You know, they say all the human beings have got a history that is buried back in their brain.
Yeah.
We all are the same in that point.
Please send any suggestion, any idea to our email, that is englishradio@irib.ir.
The discussion of what the fitra is a lengthy discussion in of itself. We have a verse in the Quran about it.
We don't want to go away from what we're talking about.
Yeah, coming back to the idea that, look, there are certain things that you don't have control over.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is not that you want to control those. The idea is that you become, first of all, satisfied. You understand the decree of Allah is such that, yes, I was born into certain circumstances with a certain background, into a certain family, into a certain climate and culture. Now, what am I going to do with it?
So that is that count. The
really counts, right? That's what really matters. What you do with what you were born with.
Yes. So now, sister, we have been born into a setting that has been predetermined for us. Now, what can I do to change the rest? You know, I have been surrounded by an environment, by people that have been predetermined for me. Now I want to change it. I'm talking about free will. I mean, because many people might say, these are all, you know, the naturalistic people usually called it. The thing that is going to determine our future is the environment that we are living in, which is the nature that we're living in, and then the genes, the biology that I have been born with. Now, if we want to describe on free will, what will we say? If we consider that the place that I've been born has been decided for me, people around me have been decided for me, how shall I call myself a person with free will?
First, the family we are born with, yes, it's been determined for us, but not those around us. We have the choice of who we choose as friends.
Mm-hmm.
We have the choice of who we associate ourselves with. These are not determined for us. These are free will. This is how I choose to go ahead in life.
Mm-hmm.
If I choose a friend who's into drugs and alcohol, that's my fault.
But don't you think that also is related to the family I was born in?
No, again, it comes down to free will. A lot of the times we have the option of choosing what to do. It may be we may make a mistake in what we choose, but that does not mean that we don't have free will. It's just a mistake that I made the wrong choice. Family, yes, sometimes. But again, with family as well, today we live in a very vast world where I come from the UK, and you have social services, you have shelters for different people. Mm-hmm. If I may be born in a family that doesn't look after me, there are ways for me to find a path out of it. Yes, maybe not in the initial years of my life, mm-hmm. but as we grow up, we can separate ourselves from these dangerous values that may come from our environment.
So you mean that our choices comes after the things that have been decided for us? The thing that is important is the things that we are going to choose in future.
Well, initially in the first 5-7 years of our lives, mm-hmm. we don't know the difference between right and wrong, mm-hmm. right? But after the age of 7, the consciousness starts to come in. The ability to differentiate between right and wrong comes in, and it is part of our fitra as well. That might be at a lower level for a very young child, but as we grow up, the innate nature does start to strengthen because we start to get acquainted with the world around us.
Exactly.
If you look at something as simple as alcohol, right? We are talking of, if we go back to someone choosing a friend who's into drugs and alcohol. Even those who drink alcohol are very well aware that it is harmful for them. They still do it out of choice. And in the many documentaries, if you go to see that, look into these issues.
But you know, the place they are living in and the people that they have been growing with sort of push them into that direction.
We have many examples in the world that goes against this. You have many people who come from very bad neighborhoods who grow up to be perfectly good mm-hmm. people. They did not let the environment pull them down. Yes. There's a difference between allowing ourselves to go ahead with that environment or pulling ourselves out of that situation.
Yes,
it is harder than it would be for me and you who have grown up in, alhamdulillah, very pious families.
Yes, good situation.
But that doesn't mean that it's impossible. We can't mm-hmm. say it's impossible. It might be harder, but that does not mean they can't get themselves out of it.
Yes, and I'm it's not going impossible, to, but it's harder.
Yes, I'm not going to pull them down because they have got into that situation, perhaps because they got the wrong upbringing. Mm-hmm. But again, I stand by my point that they can get themselves out of that situation with the help that you get in the world. There's a lot of information that goes around today, and mm-hmm. there are very few people who can say that today they don't have access to the internet or they don't have access to services around the world that help people pull themselves out of disadvantaged situations.
So right now, let's go for a little break, and we'll be back after just a short interval. Thank you for listening, guys.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
How is it fair that a person living in a bad country that is surrounded with too much of war and bad events, how shall we call it fair that a person who is living in a bad situation is going to be judged the same way as the other person who's been living in a country that is fulfilling and everything is very peachy and pinky?
Well, the short answer is they're not going to be judged in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Allah is the most just, as well as that He's the most merciful. What Allah is going to do is judge everyone as per the situation that they were in, right?
That is the thing that I want to hear.
There might be one person like us who were born into a Muslim family. We mm-hmm. were born into a household that had the Quran on the shelf, right? And we always had some sort of semblance to Islam throughout our family. Allah is going to ask us on Judgment Day, what did you do with what I gave you? I gave you the Quran. I gave you the pristine examples of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. What did you do with that? Right? And there might be one Tom who just lives his life like that and then he commits suicide at the end of it. That's the end of his life. There might be another Tom who realizes that this is wrong. He doesn't necessarily come towards Islam itself. He doesn't find Islam itself. But what he does,